Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of Carnegie Mellon University's Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the U.S. Department of Defense. Today's podcast will be available on the SEI website at www.sei.cmu.edu/podcast. My name is Suzanne Miller. I'm a principal researcher here at the SEI. And today I'm very pleased to introduce some colleagues that I have dealt with before and some that I haven't. So we have Timur Snoke and Tim Schimmel, who are part of our CERT division. And here we're going to talk today about how to be a network traffic analyst. So those of you out there looking for career change, you can sort of listen and see if you like what you hear, and we can talk about what does it mean to be that. But before we get into that, Timur first, I guess, and then Tim, tell us a little bit about how did you get here? What is it that brought you to the SEI and to this work in network traffic analysis?
So I came to the SEI after a long road, working everywhere from washing pots and pans on a dude ranch to being a high school teacher. I learned that I enjoyed understanding how things work and understanding at a deeper level of how things are connected and how things work together. And it also becomes very interesting to find out when things aren't working, why they aren't working. And so I went from being in a high school classroom to working for the school district, doing technology things, to eventually working as a consultant or a contractor for businesses and organizations in a wide variety of industries. And I had the opportunity to come here and work at the SEI, and I jumped on it.
Cool. And you had no idea what you were getting yourself into, but now you're a network traffic analyst.
Absolutely.
Okay. And Tim?
I was a tenured faculty member working for the federal government out in Monterey, California.
And Monterey.
Yeah, very nice. And I managed to come out here for a sabbatical for about 5 months, studying, doing some studies in with the CERT division here at the at the SEI, and found the environment attractive enough that I resigned from tenure and came out here, principally because I'm a very data-oriented person, and I very much like to see the interplay of data that's in place. So I swapped Monterey for Pittsburgh, and have occasionally had my sanity questioned, particularly in February. But I've really found it. It's been 20 years now, and I've really found the SEI to be a tremendously wonderful place to work. And along the way, I've been able to do some really, really, really interesting things, including looking at a large amount of network traffic and in a variety of environments, including the 2002 Olympic Games.
Oh, you got to be part of that.
Yes.
Yes, that was a very big deal when that was going on. So, like you, I left California in 1993 and came here. And yes, people do question my sanity, but I do the trick of going home to visit my family in December, so that sort of helps a little bit. But, all right, so very different backgrounds, but both ended up in sort of the same arena. And so, first of all, tell me, what is a network traffic analyst? And what do they do?
Well, network traffic analysts, as the name implies, look at network traffic. It's not necessarily just one form of network traffic. There are several distinct types of data.
Categories, yeah.
That analysts may look at, including things like, okay, routing data. How is the information being sent from one location to another? What paths are currently involved? Packet data. That is, what units of information are being sent back and forth between computers across various networks. Aggregates of packet data, whether it be traces, which is basically packets where you strip out the content and just keep the header, but still retain packet by packet information, or flow, where you assemble and summarize whole collections of packets that correspond to a connection between one computer and another.
And why do we care about all of that?
Largely because it can give us some understanding of what's really happening on our network and an unbiased understanding. So I'm not dealing strictly with things that I initially believe are wrong, but rather I can look and see what's on the wire, what's moving, how much bandwidth is being consumed by which applications. Do I see the types of traffic I expect to see that indicate services are still alive? Or is there anything there that might indicate an attack?
So I think coming from CERT, we make the assumption that a lot of what we're looking at when we do any of these analyses are things that might be leading us to understand vulnerabilities better, leading us to understand attack, what's the attack surface, what's the attack profile that is, you know, available within this network environment. So all those are kinds of things. Do we also use network traffic analysis for other kinds of technology understanding? So I'm thinking about things like, how close are we to needing to add resources within the cloud environment that we're supporting, or things like that?
So in addition to what you're talking about, like kind of capacity planning with transitioning to cloud or something like that, we also are looking at the utilization of the network connections in between different devices to figure out, do we have enough capacity to let our applications mm-hmm. run at optimal with optimal performance. We're also monitoring how the applications are talking to each other and what applications we have present on our network. Frequently we find that the environment that we have that creates that attack surface is unknown. When we go into a customer's network that is in the midst of an incident and we ask them a question, how many web servers do you have? There are few that can actually answer that accurately. Right. And so often this network traffic analysis is just to provide situational awareness to understand what is the baseline of the environment that we're trying to defend.
What should the baseline be and what is it? And then what's the variance, so
Absolutely.
That we can understand if there might be something good or bad happening.
Right, and so often we find that the network traffic analysts kind of wear two hats, where they're network security analysts, and they're also more of an IT service
sure.
support capacity.
Okay, what is it that makes a good analyst? This is, I will tell you, I don't think you're gonna bring out qualities that are part of my profile. I like to know how things work, but it's more like I like to know how the organization works and things like that, more than understanding all the bits and bytes of data. So what is it that makes a good quality analyst that can deal with this kind of data on an ongoing basis?
Part of it is the ability to use a wide variety of tools to answer questions about what is happening on the network and to figure out ways to go past inference and supposition and to get facts.
Seek data.
That can actually provide support for the hypothesis that you're coming up with.
Some of it is what you've been talking about. The analyst needs to be able to keep a higher perspective and to apply insight. So it's not just these bits and bytes are moving across the wire, but it's this kind of interaction
okay.
which is important to my organization. What's going on with the domain name server? How much of the resolutions that are being made are business relevant
right.
versus
not?
sometimes the non-business relevance are things we're going to tolerate, recreational
sure.
use within allowable parameters and things like that. Sometimes, you know, if you're starting to see a huge uptick in resolutions going out of your organization, that can be a sign that there's malware there
mm-hmm.
because they use manufactured
sure.
domains that are deliberately in design not to be present already in the DNS cache.
Gotcha.
They also have to have the ability to ask meaningful questions of the data. There's so much data that's out there.
That's what intimidates me.
There's huge volumes.
Sort of overload.
That is there. And so you have to come into it with some understanding of this is what I'm looking for. And this is why I'm looking for that.
Okay.
What does it mean to my organization? What does it mean to the computer systems? What does it mean with respect to the security? And be able to have that insight when you're looking at the data, because that helps to scope and bound your data as
right.
you move forward.
Yeah, to add to that, sadly, there is really little formalism
mm-hmm.
with what a network security or a network security analyst would do, or a network traffic analyst. And so what they have to do is they have to bring their own skills to bear. And that might be drawing on things like a knowledge of statistics or behavioral analysis or maybe some deep learning or machine learning applications.
But fundamentally, it's a sort of a classic problem-solving kind of skill set, right? I've got to be able to look at an environment, characterize the environment, right. figure out what's meaningful mm-hmm. in that environment, and then match it up to the problem, the incident that I'm trying to deal with. So I've got
right.
this, the divergence of looking and scanning outwards and not pruning the tree prematurely, and then being able to come meaningfully in time, in a good time situation, coming to what's converged as to really here's the place I need to look.
Right.
So people that have that, those kinds of abilities, adding in all of the specificity of being able to deal with the mountains of data that they are. That's the piece that really just intimidates me, is mountains and mountains of data.
And then to translate that into something that's meaningful.
And communicate
To the decision makers. Yeah, absolutely.
Who are the decision makers that network traffic analysts typically deal with?
Frontline, it could be your CISO, Chief Information Security Officer. It could be a network security reporting infrastructure within your organization. You could be dealing with a security incident, and your goal is to get information back to the responder.
Okay.
As to which systems were involved, what ways you see those systems involved, things like that.
And also auditors, compliance. People would also have a stake in what a network traffic analyst can provide.
And I'm even imagining that they might even interact with some of the vendors that are coming to sell the organization.
Absolutely.
You've got to have this, blah, 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 you know. And that traffic analyst is someone that can say, well, we don't really have that kind of thing going on.
So to that point, I think one of the things that's incumbent upon somebody in this role is to develop a fluency with the tools that are available to do the work. But more importantly is to understand the underlying technologies that are involved, because many tools provide the same solution. It's just understanding what it is that we're trying
the context.
To. Right.
So if I want to be part of this kind of community, and if I'm already part of this kind of community, one of the things I'm hearing you say is you got to keep up. I mean, I know in the tooling environments that I work in, you know, I'm hearing about new tools not quite every week, but almost. Mm-hmm. What are some of the resources that the SEI supports or that are out there that analysts that want to be, people that want to be analysts or people who already are analysts can go to kind of get up to speed on what's happening now in the network traffic arena?
Well, the starting point is to first of all understand what your organization needs.
Mm-hmm.
There's some amount of understanding of what's my infrastructure, what's that kind of thing. And that involves simply starting to gather data, starting to build familiarity with the data and the way the interactions normally work so that you can easily detect
abnormal,
strange, possibly threatening. And threatening is really kind of only a possible, not necessarily definite at this level. Some of this can be helped by looking at online resources like threat feeds and being able to gather information about, you know, what do I look for that seems to indicate this kind of attack or that kind of attack. There's several good quality threat feeds which are out there. And then going on and exploring and evaluating on your own, so the more you build your own skill set, the better.
Sure.
That being said, it's nice to get sometimes into an environment where there are several experienced analysts around, ideally a bunch of experienced analysts around, and you can trade expertise, you can find some commonality in what activities are involved. You may be able to see some vendors which have information in place, but not necessarily the flax of the vendors, but the engineering types of the vendors.
Right.
And really get in and dig, okay, what does this tool actually do? How does it do it? So I can get some feel for, okay, well, that's similar to what I've already got. I really don't need that. Or, wow, that's something new and I want to be able to grab. FloCon, which is held every January in varying locations. I think the next one's going to be in New Orleans this next
January. Maybe I want to be a network traffic analyst after all.
brings together on the close sort of 200 participants.
Nice,
the participants tend to be very technical people from a wide variety of different organizations. So we get government types, we get industry types, we get a few academics, we get people from the United States, people from other nations coming to share and to talk about it. There'll be technical presentations, there'll be things like that. And this is the 15th one we've held.
So you have a community.
There is an active community there.
So that's good for supporting people that are just getting into the field, because they can learn who's the guru in this area, in that area, you know, keynotes are kind of a clue for that.
Sure.
And then also get to meet people that they can connect with after the fact. I know in the Agile community there are several conferences that kind of tend to be the ones that everybody gets together and sort of gets to know who the people are that they can ask different questions from.
Yeah. And we have one keynoter who's from Netflix that's going to be there in New Orleans.
Cool.
So there's, you know, and certainly with their needs and their loads, there's a lot of network analysis that they do, and he's going to be talking about some of that. So it should be an active and interesting time.
If I could just jump in, I think that the value proposition of something like FlowCon is really exceptional because it's not necessarily a vendor-driven event.
Gotcha.
And the history of many of the presentations are still available and are online. And so if you want to see what kind of the state of the art is today and understand how it progressed to this, a lot of that has been captured and is available. So,
excellent. And that's something we'll have in the transcript. We'll make sure that those links are there for people.
Yeah, it's there in the SCI website.
Yeah. But also FlowCon has its own website, flowcon.org.
Right, that's FlowCon without a W.
Without the W, right, F-L-O-C-O-N. And so that's an easy place for people to get an idea of what the depth and breadth are of the kinds of things. And as somebody thinking about becoming a network traffic analyst, this gives you an idea of, if these are not interesting to you, this is probably not, you know, this is where you want to get off the airplane, right? Or if it is interesting to you, then that's a good way to decide that you want to get a little more involved in these things.
Absolutely.
So what's the things that we're working on right now that are kind of interesting about network traffic? So going from being an analyst to actually being a researcher in this arena, what are some of the interesting things that are happening in your world right now?
Well, for me, I'm doing a lot of work with open source data, trying to find what can we infer from the things that are available without without a price tag on it.
Gotcha.
And by watching the traffic that's on the network and watching the way that it relates to the traffic that is outside of our network, we're able to get a lot further faster and close the time that it takes to respond to an event.
We're also developing formalisms to help us to understand and distinguish between actionable information and just sort of inferences that might be influenceable, but they're not really actionable.
I see.
And trying to drive the evolution of data into really information and then into action.
So trying to get a handle on this, we've got this big lake of data, and pulling the meaning out of it right now depends pretty much completely on the skill of the analyst and some of the tools that they know they have. You're actually trying to say, let's put something around that that guides people so that data lake actually gets a little bit pruned before we even have to apply our own skills to it. Is that a
that's
way
correct.
To put it?
Okay. And also to be able to apply some rigor to it so we can make some obvious statements as to what is included in this kind of a method and not.
Right.
And that's where we're going to start bringing in some of the newer techniques, right? So the you know, taking all of the data, trying to sift through the noise using automated tools like the machine learning algorithms or other kind of behavioral analytics and things like that we've already touched on. That's a really important part of this because the volumes of data that our network traffic analysts are having to observe is growing at a remarkable rate.
Sure.
The population of people doing the work is not. And so we have a lot more data for fewer people, and it's a challenge.
And so automation is one of the things we turn to as we learn more deeply about the space.
Right.
And
we're also looking at how do we better explain how we go about network analysis.
Mm-hmm.
We have a forthcoming handbook, which is coming out, the SOAK Analyst's Handbook.
Okay.
And that is dealing very directly on what are the analytical skills, what are the models of doing the task of analysis, not in a cookie cutter sort of a way or a recipe sort of way, but more general mindset.
And competencies.
And with worked examples so that we can work things through.
So it sounds like this is a field that is kind of on the cusp of becoming much more systematic and definable, so easy for people to decide whether or not they fit or don't fit into this kind of work. And we need people to fit into this kind of work.
Absolutely.
As you said, the traffic is just increasing, and I don't see any reason why we're going to see a stop to that. So it's just going to get more and more. So if this was of interest to you, then you may want to hit up some of the resources that we'll have in the transcript, go to the FlowCon conference, it's New Orleans after all, and learn more about this area so that you can help us out in understanding what's going on with our networks. Timur, Tim, I want to thank you both for joining us today. This is always fun to talk about what kinds of things we're doing out in the real world, and this definitely fits into that side of things. As we said earlier, all of the resources that we've talked about, plus the few that we haven't, will be on the transcript, and those will be able to be found at our website, www.sei.cmu.edu/podcast, which is also where the video of this will be. In addition, you can also find this on the Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes site, and you can also find it on the SEI's very own YouTube channel. Thank you for watching.